Blog Talk Radio.
John? Hello?
Nick, we're on.
Oh, you're on? Okay. Oh, I am live from Super Bowl Boulevard.
Nick,
what?
Nick, shut up.
Oh, shit.
Sportsaholics 24/7. You know, big week, huge weekend in sports. Let's get it started. First introductions. I'm John. I'm going to be hosting today. I'm joined with my co-hosts Nick and Jordan. And Jordan, you haven't been on for a while, so welcome back.
Good to be back.
And I'm live from Super Bowl Boulevard.
Yep, Nick's live from Super Bowl Boulevard, New York City. Nick, what's the atmosphere like there?
It's very, very crowded. I mean, listen, once you go there once, the line for everything is really, really long. I also went to the M&M's World, where Francesca was at the time. I really wanted to flip him the bird, but decided not to. I also tried to take a picture. Actually, I kind of got kicked out of the M&M's World. My friends and I, we were both there at M&M's World, and we were kind of kicked out because I was in the area near the escalator, and I was trying to take a picture, and they're like, all right, buddy, you're done.
Whoa, okay,
yeah.
All right, that's interesting.
Classic Nick.
Yeah, classic Nick. So let's get this started, and first, you know, we're going to have we talked about this a little last week, but Sunday, before the big game, before the Super Bowl, we're going to be having an episode with a Super Bowl preview. So for this episode today, we will not be really talking about the Super Bowl. We're going to save that for Sunday. So let's get started with some NBA news. If you haven't heard, the NBA All-Star teams have been released, both the starters, which were voted in by the fans, and the reserves, which were selected by coaches. What do you guys think of the All-Star teams? Jordan, let's start with you.
Well, obviously, it's really clear that the West is much more talented overall as a conference, and it's really unfortunate for some of these guys in the West where they get snubbed as all-stars, but in the East, they may possibly even be starters, such as Anthony Davis, who's just having a monster year, but he doesn't even make it. DeMarcus Cousins, who I really thought deserved it, he didn't make the team. And then some other guys like David Lee, Goran Dragic. I mean, these are great all-star talented players, but to be totally honest, I really think the coaches got it right, for at least the Western Conference. I think guys like Dwight Howard, Tony Parker, Damian Lillard definitely. You know, these guys deserve to be voted in by the coaches. Obviously, Kobe, we all know about that. But in terms of the Eastern Conference, the only real surprise was probably Joe Johnson, where a lot of people think Lance Stephenson or maybe Kyle Lowry should have deserved to have been in. But
yeah,
it's very debatable because Joe Johnson really this whole season has been very consistent for the Nets when there's been injuries like to Darren Williams or Brook Lopez. He's been the guy that stepped up and made clutch shots and gone on nice runs. So it's very interesting to look at it because it's very close.
I think Joe Johnson, he 100% deserves to be in the All-Star team. Obviously,
right,
the fan voting is basically a popularity contest, so I didn't really think that he would make it to the fan voting, but I knew that he deserved to make it.
Oh, I think he deserved to make
it.
But the reason people will argue against him is because if you compare the stats with Lance Stephenson and Kyle Lowry, Joe Johnson probably doesn't deserve to make it. But when you look at what he's done for his Nets team this year, I mean, where would the Nets be right now without him, let's be honest. So I do agree with the coaches on that one.
All right, and Nick, do you think there are any notable All-Star Game snubs?
Do you think there's any what?
Notable All-Star Game snubs, people that have been left out of the game that deserve to be in.
Lance Stephenson, I think, is one. I think, I mean, Roy Hibbert's not a snub because he's on the reserve, but I don't think he should be on the reserve. He's one of the best centers in the game right now. I think Roy Hibbert should be higher. Joakim Noah made it. I can't believe Joakim Noah made it over Roy Hibbert. He really didn't deserve it. Joakim Noah is one of the most overrated players in the NBA. He's starting.
Joakim Noah, no, he's not. He's on the bench.
Hold on.
All right, okay.
Never mind.
Nick, now, what do you feel about DeMarcus Cousins? Do you think that he deserves to make the All-Star team? I believe that, and I think so does Jordan. But Nick, what do you think?
I don't know. It's very hard to say because listen, the West is very strong, and there are certainly centers who are stronger than DeMarcus Cousins. It's like, for example, I take Blake Griffin over DeMarcus Cousins any day, and the other guy from the other center from the West who made it was Dwight Howard, and I also think Dwight Howard over DeMarcus Cousins, as great of a season as he was having. I mean, he's really not in the like top notch, you know what I'm saying? He's not up there with Dwight Howard or Blake Griffin or anybody like that.
Right, and I think the coaches definitely got it right. However, I was saying it was unfortunate that some of these guys who would be all-stars other years are going to snub this year just because of the talent in the Western Conference.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference roster right now for the All-Star game, and there are guys like Paul Millsap and, like Nick said, Joakim Noah, who, yeah, they're all right, but an All-Star, I don't think so. And if you look at some guys in the West that didn't make it, you know, DeMarcus Cousins we talked about, there are a few other guys really should have made it. You know, Tim Duncan didn't make the All-Star game. That's a shocker. That's a joke. The fan voting, I understand it 100%, but I think it's almost a little dumb. Because you look at a guy like Kobe Bryant, who made it. It's his 16th All-Star Game appearance. Obviously, has a huge following. But he played in, what, 6 games this year? Did he deserve to make the All-Star Game? No. But did he? Unfortunately, he did.
Yeah, and let me just say something. It is a joke that Joakim Noah made the All-Star Team and Lance Stephenson did it. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Lance Stephenson is much more. I know the different types of players, but in terms of talent, he's better at Lance Stephenson, without question.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, please.
All right, now let's move on to our next topic. We're going to stick with the NBA. And David Stern has been the NBA commissioner for 30 years now. Is going to be retiring. So for me, you know, I've grown up my whole life. David Stern has been the commissioner in the NBA. And same with you guys, too. And talking from some people that are older and know more about the history of the NBA and lived through the history of it, I've only heard great things about him. He's really expanded the game. I saw a stat today that when he started, the NBA was only broadcasted in 2 countries. Now, after him being the commissioner for 30 years, its games are broadcasted in 215 countries worldwide. So not only has he done a great job here in the United States, but he's also made basketball a global game. And you look at some other countries, like in the Olympics, like, you know, Lithuania, Spain, all those countries that are pretty small, but they have great basketball teams, large part due to David Stern. So, Jordan, what's your best memory of David? What's your memory going to be of David Stern? What are you going to think of him after he retires?
Well, obviously, you know, I wasn't alive for most of his tenure, unfortunately. But the impact David Stern has had on the game really cannot be doubted at all. I mean, like the stat you said, how, you know, when David Stern came into the league, the popularity was low, and he really stuck with the league and transitioned it into what it has become today as one of the, you know, the top leagues in the world. And, you know, really, it's only a matter of time before we have Obviously, we have the Raptors right now, but I really only think maybe in the next 10, 15 years we'll have a team possibly overseas in Europe. They're looking to do that. And the game is really expanding a lot. I mean, people have opinions of David Stern that could be negative. A lot of scandals and stuff, like maybe rigging the lottery, which I don't know if I believe. There are some instances in games where people think he might have altered the ref's decision, such as the Lakers-Kings series. But overall, I really think David Stern has done an amazing job with this league, and his impact will never be forgotten.
Mm-hmm. I feel that same exact way. He's just done a great job. Now, Nick, how do you feel about David Stern?
I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of David Stern, but I would have to admit he deserves to retire. He has done a great job. I apologize for that ambulance, the FDNY truck behind me. David Stern has done a great job. I think it's great that he's trying to expand the NBA overseas. Of course, I mean, the NBA's popularity in this country could certainly increase, but there's only so much he could do about that. I mean, he really does deserve it. I mean, I didn't exactly love David Stern in the sense that I thought he was sort of a bully in a sense that, like, for example, I didn't like how he fined Greg Popovich for benching his starters that game against the Heat. That kind of pissed me off a little bit and things like that. And stupid rules like that. But besides, I mean, for the most part, though, all in all, he's been a good commissioner. And we just, it's just a matter of time for us to see how good
the
guys are going to do.
Yeah, right. Adam Silver, it'll be interesting. Jordan, what are you going to say?
Well, I definitely agree with you, Nick, but the thing I'm kind of concerned about is that over the last couple of years, I think the NBA has been not really declining, but definitely seeing some negatives of the league, such as, you know, you have basically, you look at the NBA, you got 30 teams, and if you examine these teams, got about maybe four to six really, really good teams in the league. Then you have some really, really bad teams. And it seems that that middle class of teams where they're good enough to compete and make the playoffs as the lower seeds is starting to deteriorate. And now the thing that's becoming more popular is, you know, the idea of tanking for the lottery. So that's one thing. I definitely think the lottery needs to go. But this path that
like
the NBA is taking is a little bit concerning. And it'll be interesting to see how Adam Silver can handle this and what kind of changes he can make to get the NBA back on its original path.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, listen, I mean, here's the thing with the NBA. I mean, there's only so much you can do to get people interested. It's not going to be anything like the NFL. The next 100 years, I'm honestly convinced. But the thing, I mean, one of the main reasons why I wasn't the biggest fan of David Stern is because of his stupid laws, like I think finding Greg Popovich for benching his starters. So now you're going to find a coach for benching his starters. That makes no sense. Things like that about David Stern I didn't like, and he's just finding an excuse to fine everybody or whatever. Which one? I do agree with what you're saying.
And for me, I think my most fond memory of David Stern, or what I want to think of him, is, like I said earlier, expanding the game to different countries. But I'm also going to – there are definitely some negative parts of his tenure. There were some lockouts. Like Jordan said, there were some of those scandals, some conspiracy theories that maybe he rigged the draft lottery a while back so that the Knicks would get Patrick Ewing. And then 2001, Lakers versus Kings, Western Conference Finals, told the refs, you know, let the Lakers win, whatever. Not sure if I buy that, but there are plenty of people that do. So only time will tell how he is remembered. Just a quick reminder, we always appreciate your questions, comments. We want to know what you guys think about David Stern, about the All-Star game. If you want to talk about the Super Bowl, calling about that, whatever, you could do that. That number is 347-884-8496. Once again, 347-884-8496. Now, before we move on to our next topic, I just want to let Nick explain something. An idea that we thought of a little while back, and Nick finally was able to execute it today. Nick,
I wasn't able to execute it.
You were not able to execute it.
I was unable to execute it because nobody stopped me.
Would you like to explain what we will be doing?
Yeah, but okay. So basically, what we're going to do is we are going to go around. We're going to ask people fake sports news and see what their reaction is going to be. I mean, listen. I've tried to ask many people. I tried to ask a kid in a Seahawks jersey about something. I tried to stop him, but his mom was like, "Come on, man. Come on, son. Let's go. Keep moving. Don't stop for this guy." I mean, nobody really seems to want to stop for me. But I do like the idea. I do like the idea, and I do think it will work. We just have to look a little more, I don't know, you're going to have to get, like, a microphone or something, make us seem legit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do like the idea because that's pretty entertaining.
It should be funny.
Yeah, it would be very funny.
Yeah, and with stuff like that, you know, it's people have done it before, but the best part of that, no matter what it is, people are always going to give different reactions. We're not going to say any examples of some questions we would ask. We're going to save that for future episodes. However, our plan is to post the video on YouTube, post some of the clips on YouTube, and if you want to hear the rest of the clips, you'll have to listen into the show, and we'll reveal them. We have about 13 and a half minutes left in the show. Once again, if you want to call in, the number is 347-884-8496. Again, we're going to have a Super Bowl show on Sunday. Now, what do you guys think, because this is kind of related to Super Bowl, what do you guys think about Marshawn Lynch, that whole, you know, incident, well, ongoing incident where he's refusing to talk to the media? I don't think it's a big deal, but a lot of members of the media do. What do you guys think about this? Do you think he is required to speak to the media?
I don't think it's really that big a deal. I mean, to be honest, after all, they are people, and some people are very shy. It's his personality. I get it. He's getting paid billions of dollars or whatever, but let's be honest. Who cares? And to be honest, what somebody's going to say in an interview is pretty predictable anyway. I mean, if he doesn't want to talk to the media, you have the entire other Seahawks team. You have,
are you talking about Sherman?
No. And you have the entire other Seahawks team, and you have everybody on the Broncos. Why is it a big deal if one guy doesn't want to talk to the media? If he's not a people person, if he's shy or whatever, that's his personality, that's fine. It's not a big deal. I mean, is it the worst thing in the world if he doesn't talk to the media? I mean, me personally, I don't even watch most of these interviews anyway. Who cares?
All right, Jordan, what do you think about this?
Well, in my opinion, I agree with you guys. From my standpoint, I really don't think it's a big deal that Marshawn won't talk to the media, or he did for 6 minutes or whatever. But if you look at it from the perspective of the media, I can definitely understand why they're upset.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, this is what they do for a living. They interview them, they write articles, you know, this is their job. And when you have one of the biggest stars in the Super Bowl, one of the best running backs in the league, and you're able to interview him on Media Day, which is basically the biggest day the media has before the Super Bowl of the year, I can definitely understand their frustration with it, but at the same time, the guy isn't required to talk to the media. He just probably wants to focus on the game right now, which I can understand, but I definitely also understand the media and why they're upset over this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's definitely not obligated to speak to the media. There is no rule that says you have to. And if he gets fined, which, I mean, he probably won't, but if he does, if Roger Goodell pulls one of those crappy moves, that'll be awful. But really, he doesn't have to do it. If he doesn't want to, that's fine. He's just being who he is. Yes. Let's move on to our next. Yeah, it's his personality. Let's move on to our next topic. We haven't been able to talk about this yet, and now that we have Jordan on, a big Yankee fan, we'll discuss this. Masahiro Tanaka, the Japanese pitcher, has signed with the Yankees over some other teams, including the Chicago Cubs. They were another team that he was seriously considering. And this is a very big signing for the Yankees. First of all, they really need another pitcher. Second of all, some recent free agents have been, you know, not going to the Yankees. The Yankees have been having some trouble getting these big guys. And now they got Tanaka. Jordan, how big of a signing is this for the Yankees?
I had a single ride on.
Well, you know, I definitely have mixed feelings about this signing. You know, on one hand, I was under the belief that the Yankees would not be able to compete this year if they did not add another pitcher. And Tanaka was clearly the best pitcher on the market. There's really, you know, not that great other guys. I know Matt Garza just got signed. There's still Ubaldo Jimenez. But to be honest, Tanaka is definitely the best player on the market right now. And to be able to sign him and put him right at the top of your rotation is going to be huge for the Yankees. But my one concern is really, how could you justify giving, you know, 7 years and whatever it was, $20, $22 million a year to a guy who's never thrown one pitch in baseball? And the other thing is, too, how do we know this guy is going to hold up for this seven-year contract? I mean, I know he's only 25 years old, but if you look at what he's done in Japan for the past couple seasons, he's thrown innings and pitch counts that would just be unheard of in Major League Baseball. And now, in recent years, we've seen guys with, you know, severe arm injuries and getting Tommy John surgery and all that stuff. And it kind of concerns me to wonder if Tanaka is going to be able to hold up. But other than that, I really like the signing. I think he's going to be huge for the Yankees. And hopefully it won't be, you know, another Keigawa or another bust that comes over. Because I personally think this guy is the real deal. All
right, Mindell, if you want to come upstairs.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he is going to be a very good pitcher for the Yankees. And one story that I heard about him that I was really impressed by was, I believe it was the whatever the Japanese version of their World Series is, and he pitched a game, threw over 100 or something pitches, and the very next day they had another game, and he said he wanted to pitch again, and he said he could have gone. Now, I mean, you never know. They obviously didn't pitch him, because that just is, it's not good for his health, not good for his arm. But I think that determination, that motivation, is something that the Yankees can really use. They're having some off the field issues with A-Rod, so this is a big signing. I really like it.
Well, I definitely like it too. It's just, it's hard for me to understand why or how he really got so much money. I understand the Yankees wanted to outbid everyone, and they wanted to make an impression that we're going to offer the most money, nobody is going to be able to give you more, and you're able to play in New York and all the perks that come with that. So it was definitely a bold move for the Yankees. And the real thing is, it's probably going to make other pitchers, you know, quite frustrated, guys who haven't yet got their large contracts. Well, they've proven themselves in the major league, and now this guy who's never thrown a pitch at this level now gets over $20 million a year. And guys with upcoming deals like Max Scherzer, David Price, it might increase their value, but it probably frustrates them a little bit too.
I think you're right, because he's never pitched a pitch in the MLB before, and we've seen plenty of guys come from Japan and dominate there and then come to the MLB and not pan out. Just off the top of my mind, you got obviously Daisuke Matsuzaka from the Red Sox, who came in with a very big amount of hype around him, and he pitched all right in the beginning, and then he just disappeared, and now he's in the Mets, and we don't know what his future is going to look like. So as a Yankee fan, no, you're a Yankee fan, we're all just hoping that he pans out for him, because if he does, he can be something special.
Well, I will add this, John. When you say other guys dominating in Japan, I mean, no one really has quite dominated like Tanaka has. If you just look at his numbers, they are really amazing. I think he was, 23-24-0 with a 1.3 or 1.4 ERA. I mean, I know the competition is much lower in Japan. Well, not much lower, but definitely lower than in the MLB. But when you're posting those kind of numbers, it'll be hard to think about them not translating over to the MLB. Obviously, he won't be posting a 1.4 ERA, but I still think he'll be pretty good in the MLB.
He should be good. I hope he's worth the money, because The Yankees are throwing a lot of money at him. And, you know, some things never change. The Yankees are always going to try to pay their guys the most. You know, they have the money. Why don't they spend it? And now we have just under 5 minutes to go. We lost Nick, it looks like. So let's talk a little bit about Alex Rodriguez. We'll stay with the Yankees, stay with baseball. What should happen? What do you think will happen with Alex Rodriguez?
Well, the news that just came out was now his suspension was reduced a little bit. Now it's only 1 year, which opened up some room for the Yankees to obviously make the Tanaka signing, saving some money from this season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing the Yankees really wanted to happen was to be able to avoid his contract, and we're not sure how it's going to play out right now. But if they can do that and save all that money for a guy who's turning 40 soon, the worst he's ever played in his career, and now you're stuck with him. After this year, he'll have, I think, 3 more years on his contract. And I don't know what his trade value is. It's probably not much. But I just think the guy's a liability to the team right now. If you put him out there, I mean, he's a good bat in the lineup, but I don't think he's consistent or productive enough. And you're not going to get much out of him if you trade him. You're probably going to have to eat 90% of his contract. But I think if the Yankees have the opportunity to get rid of him in the upcoming years, I definitely think they should do that just to get rid of that whole distraction, him being there. Obviously, the players don't like him. He's suing the players' union or whatever, and it's just a whole disaster. I think the Yankees would just be better off without him, however difficult that may be. I think that definitely needs to be a goal of Cashman coming up.
I agree with that because Alex Rodriguez on the field has not been anything special. He's definitely showed his bright spots, but even more so off the field, he's been bad. So distracting with all this steroid stuff. We only have 3 minutes to go, so I can talk about this for hours, about how much he pisses me off. He gets all this money to do basically nothing. He's not clutch at all. In the playoffs against the Tigers last year, I remember he just struck out, came down to him, struck out, and now with these steroids allegations, no one's surprised, but he denied it with an interview before, and now it comes out that he has been using them. So I think the Yankees, yeah, like you said, he does not have a lot of trade value. If they're going to trade him to any team, maybe it'll be a team like the Astros or something, trade a minor league prospect, try to just get some people into the crowd, maybe a popularity stunt, something like that. But in terms of pure talent, he has zero value. His contract is huge, so if the Yankees can't trade him, they have got to get rid of him somehow. Pay him his contract, whatever. Just get him off this team because he's worthless.
Well, the reality of the situation is most likely the Yankees are stuck with him for the next 3 years after his suspension. And all he'll be doing during that time is DHing some of the time, probably riding the bench most of the season, and making his $30 million, and that'll be the end of A-Rod, and which just turned out to be a terrible move on the Yankees' part. I know he had some pretty good years in 2005, 2007, where he was MVP, and then he had the great postseason before the World Series in 2009. But overall, just the amount of money they committed to him, you got to look back and realize he definitely was not even close to worth it.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like I said earlier with Tanaka, the Yankees are always looking to make the biggest splash in terms of money and players. And at the time, Alex Rodriguez was the hottest name in baseball. While in the Rangers, he was incredible. But looking back on it, it looks like a lot of that, a lot of those big games, a lot of those big seasons were due to steroid use. So it'll be interesting to see how this all pans out. I hope somehow the Yankees get rid of him because he has no value on or off the field. We're going to wrap up the show now. 30 seconds left. We apologize. Nick somehow got disconnected, but thank you, Nick, for joining us. Thank you, Jordan, for joining us. Once again, a quick reminder, Sunday before the big game, we're not sure what time yet, check out our Facebook page and Twitter page for an update, but we will be having a big Super Bowl preview show, so make sure to listen in then. And for today, you know, thank you for listening. hope to see you on Sunday.